Parshas Vayishlach has Yaakov's encounter with Esav. And this encounter happens in two phases, right? He meets Esav's ministering angel, and he wrestles him, and even though Yaakov sustains a temporary injury to his leg, he basically beats the angel, and the angel has to concede to Yaakov that he's won. And has to say that he deserves the name Yisrael, which is actually given in actuality later in the Bible, that you deserve the name Yisrael, for you've defeated man and angel. Right? And then, the next day, shortly thereafter, he meets physical Esav. And with physical Esav, he's like, he sent him ahead of time this huge gift, and he's subservient, and he bows to him seven times, which Chazal one place are very critical of why do you have to even send him the gifts, and send him, and meet him, and be so subservient to him. Yeah. But to me, what's amazing is, that the angel, the ministering angel of Esav, he creams, right? And physical Esav, he bows to and humbles himself before, and would have made more sense to do it the other way around. Because Esav is only a creature of flesh, right? And, what type of respect does a creature of flesh deserve? Right? Number one. And number two, Yaakov could probably had a better chance against Esav in the flesh than he had against the angel. The angel is a spiritual, awesome creature, Chazal, right? As Chazal say, that an angel is size of a third of the world. An angel is much more elevated and stronger creature than a creature of flesh. So, you would have thought Yaakov would do it the other way around, show subservience or be humble before the angel, who's a superior and powerful creature, and maybe be tougher and fight even the physical Esav. So why did Yaakov Avinu do it not that way around? He takes on the angel, but to Esav in the flesh is very subservient. Humbles himself. But the answer to this is it's all part of the Masa Avo Simin Labanim, that Yaakov Avinu's encounter with Esav is setting precedents for the way it's going to be, and the way it actually happened in the end. Our interaction with the Goyim, particularly with the Edom, with the nation of Esav, in whose exile we are now. Right, so Yaakov is laying down the precedents of, Jew versus Gentile. That there could be no victory for a Gentile whatsoever. That's impossible so long as a Jew sins. Right, Yitzchak Avinu already told Esav, "Vayakasha torid uforakta tzavaro me'ula me'al tzavarecha." Right, when Jewish people, go down in their mitzvah observance and in their Torah learning and in their devotion to Hashem, you will be able to break their yoke from off your neck. Right, as long as the Jews sin, they give power to the Gentiles, and divine judgment dictates we're going to have to be under them and suffer from them to a certain extent. So long as we sin, there is, it is not possible to have, no subservience towards the Goyim whatsoever, because that's the punishment and the outcome from our sins. Our sins give them power, right? And as a kapara for atonement for our sins, we have to suffer from them, and then by the time, we've suffered enough, so then they lose all their power, and that's when we come back to being victorious again and dominating them again. But we have to suffer a certain amount from the power that we gave them until we're atoned for our sins, and then they lose their power again. All right? So as long as Jews sin, it's not possible that the Goyim shouldn't have any type of uprising and some sort of power. power over us. So, the question is determining the nature thereof. What will be the nature of whatever power the goyim have over us as a result of our sins? Right? So Yaakov Avinu, plays it out as such. They will never, ever, ever have any type of control over us when it comes to issues of the spirit. That's why, in a spiritual battle, he's up against the spiritual aspect of the goyim. He's up against their ministering angel. Over there, it's war, and it's not just war. It's war and win, right? And there's no compromise. There's no subservience. It's a battle to the finish with us being victorious, and that's setting the precedent for the rest of generations. That in a war, which involves ideals and ideology, we don't give in whatsoever. We don't make any type of concessions when it comes to issues of religion, issues of value. It's do or die, even if we don't conquer them politically, but we never give in to them ideologically, they'll have to kill us. Either we kill them or they kill us. But when it comes to ideas, values, ideology, religion, Avodas Hashem, it's a battle to the finish, and inevitably the Jewish people win. And the Jewish people win because that's the power that we have, because we're hooked up with the truth, and the truth endures. Right, but as far as physical subjugation, when they make decrees against us that we are exiled or exaggerated taxes, so over there we try to bribe them, we try to placate them. Right? That Yaakov Avinu is now setting the precedent for the way it's always going to be. That our sins will only give the goyim power, over our bodies. An issue that pertain to the bodies, issues that pertain to the flesh, whether it's that they could demand work from us, they could demand taxes from us, or they could exile us, and leave our country within X amount of time. That's that is the amount of power they could have over us because of our sins. Period. When it comes to issues of the spirit, never, never. We fight to the death, and we will win. Right over there, they're not granted any dominion over us whatsoever. Yet we want to set that precedent. That's why, with the spiritual aspect of Esav, he fights to the finish. Right to the physical Esav. Right, so he shows subservience because that's saying this is the amount of control Esav will have over us as a result of our sins. He'll only have control over the flesh, not over the spirit. Right? And this is also alluded to with the fight with the angel. So Yaakov Avinu is temporarily wounded in the legs. The body is considered to be the legs of the neshama. The neshama stands on top of the body. The body is the ground floor, the aspect of the person that touches earth, and the neshama is the upper floor. So he's saying, the angel, the wound in the leg represents how the body, which is like the legs of the neshama, that could be affected. And even that, only temporarily, right? We recover from our physical subjugation to Esav. We, at the end of time, we'll make a comeback, and we'll have a Mashiach, and we'll dominate the world politically and on the flesh level also. Right now, we're the big man on campus as far as the spirit, right? Come Mashiach, as far as the body also. That's all alluded to, that the leg healed. As soon as the sun shone, right, the shining of the sun represents the coming of Mashiach, that even how the leg, which represents the leg, is the body is the leg of the neshama. It's the legs of the neshama, right? So it's how the body, even that's only temporary. So that which after then, is very subservient to Esav. Chazal say all the gifts that we gave Esav are going to come back to us at the end of time. They're only there on loan. The subservience to Esav is only on loan. And that's what the Zohar says also in Parshas Pinchas, if I'm not mistaken. It's in Parshas Emor. Right, that the subservience they showed Esav and the gifts they gave Esav is like the Sira Mishtalech. It's like the scapegoat. the scapegoat is what we have to throw off the Azazel, throw it to him. That's like throwing our sins away. We say to the force of evil, this is the amount of stock that you own in us because of our sins. Here, take it, and now we've paid you off. Right? So the whole physical encounter with Azazel and sending the gifts like the Sira Azazel, right? Because of our sins, you have this amount of stock in us. Here is, we're buying you out. This is the extent of what you have in us, and we're paying it up in full, and now you're out of it, right? Because after we suffer in the flesh from the goyim, it's not a permanent thing. We suffer a certain amount to pay them off, and they've taken their stocks, and then we're through with them. You know, we're done with them, right? And this is all being alluded to in this week's parasha. And that's the secret, what the Shlach Kodesh says, as well as from Yaakov Avinu stayed behind alone for Pachim time, for small jugs. And that's when the Esav's angel attacked him. Those small jugs were laying the precedence for Chanukah. The small jugs, he went back for, alludes to that jug of oil that had the miracle in it. So the whole struggle with an angel is an allusion to Chanukah. Chanukah, we went to battle, was do or die. It was a battle to victory, right? Because when it comes to issues of the spirit, we take up arms and we don't show any subservience whatsoever. Right? That's, you know, so the battle in spirit was an allusion to Chanukah, and it's well known, it's a documented fact that the Chafetz Chaim felt, you know, very strongly that the Jews should take up arms against Stalin, because the same person, Stalin didn't just want to politically dominate the Jewish people. He wanted to abolish religions, a spiritual struggle, and he felt it was appropriate for the Jewish people to take up weapons. Everyone should take their pitchfork or whatever they can, or a kitchen knife, and go to war with Stalin, because that's what was done in the days of Greece, and that's already pressed by Yaakov Avinu. When it comes to issues of religion, spirit, values, ideology, it's war. The Goyim were never granted any control over us regarding that aspect. They only have controls over issues of the flesh. And that's all precedent in this week's parsha. So really it said the victory of Chanukah was precedented in this week's parsha in the struggle with the angel.